Yeah, we tried to warn you. The Heat, yeah, they'd lost seven in a row, but you knew the Miami Heat was going to be ready for the Kings last night. Miami wins at 115-106. Let's go to Miami. Kyle Draper standing by. Drapes, what the heck happened? It's possible Kyle Draper can't hear me. Either that or he was so upset by the results last night that he doesn't actually want to comment on what happened in the game. The Kings came out a little flat. Maybe they were flattened. They struggled defensively. They struggled at the offensive end. Drapes, I know you had said at one point you were not sure what had happened. You and Katie were breaking things down. We know the Kings struggled with that zone day after. What are you making of what happened, what went down for the Kings last night? All right.
Whitey, no, yeah. I just think, you know, the zone really changed things. When you look at what Miami was able to do, junk it up a little bit. And it wasn't your conventional 2-3 or 3-2. Like, they had some funky wrinkles to it. But if you talk to Mike Brown afterwards, man, he said they got a lot of good looks and they just didn't knock it down. And I know we've heard that before, but I feel like that was true. Like, HB had several good looks in that game. De'Aaron had several good looks. And, you know, I'm going to chalk it up to one team was desperate for a win. One team needed that W. Another team had been playing at a high level, playing really well, and they came up short last night. I mean, the fact that the Kings were, you know, still relatively within striking distance in that game when they really didn't play well. I was more concerned about the defense, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. You know, Miami at first check, you know, at the end of the game, it was 40 assists on 42 made field goals. They changed that, but 38 assists on 42 made field goals for this Miami Heat team.
Incredible.
Which is not, no, you know, they're more of an ISO team with Jimmy Butler. They shot better than 50% from 3-point line. That was a concern to me, how they were so easily able to pick apart our defense.
Yeah, we have a lot more, of course, on the game coming up. Matt Barnes is going to join us today. Former NBA player James Donaldson is going to join us today. They're both going into the Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame. We have Drapes takes coming up. But before we get any further, Drapes, and I hate to do this so early in the show, but I think it must be done. We got Jay over there wearing his 49. He's got 49er red on today. And Jay, I wanted to ask you if I need to call shenanigans on our friend Kyle Draper here. All right? Can I present my case?
Please do.
Okay.
It. Let me get the gavel out.
Yeah. Okay. Kyle Draper was nice enough to send me a copy of his upcoming schedule, which I very much appreciate. He sends it, of course, you know, to the PD, and this is where I am this time. These are the shows that I you know, I have to miss because we're traveling. And I appreciate that you said that to me, Drapes. I really do.
So right, I'm including you.
And I think it's like the rest of the season. And it's, I'll be in studio. Why didn't I be at the arena? I'll be traveling to Washington, D.C. that day, whatever it is. There's only one day on this whole schedule that's kind of,
I don't know
if I can make it or not. Can you guess what day that is?
Monday after Super Bowl.
That's it. That's the one. Monday, February 12th is the only day that's up in the air on Kyle Draper's schedule. So I'll fly into Phoenix. Now, all the other flight times, I guess everything has been prearranged and determined. Depends when we get into Phoenix. I may be able to do the show from Phoenix that day. Maybe not. Jay, I'm calling shenanigans.
You want me to say the real part out loud?
Yeah, that's pretty close. I'm going to let you go ahead and say your piece, Drapes.
No, I'm saying if the Niners win, I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be too ill to do the show. Let's keep it real. Like, I'm going to be like barfing if the Niners win this thing, because it's going to be 6 months or however long the offseason is if, when I got to listen to Jay bang bang Niner gang all the time. I'm going to be sick. And I have a rebuttal, though, Your Honor. Is Jay the judge in this?
Yes.
Because I think the judge is biased in this case.
He is, yes.
Whitey, I think the judge is biased in this case because I've been on this show with you guys since October 4th. I think that was our debut. And then all of a sudden, I get two texts today from Jay Johnson, and they're both Niners related. Kyle Shanahan said this, or no, Nick Bosa said this. Brock Purdy from only a game manager to a game winner. Jay ain't text us content all year long. Now all of a sudden you want to text some Niners content. Where's the Kings content, Jay? Where's my Eagles content?
The Kings. Y'all got it covered enough. This station has Kings content covered. Too much.
And that's a good producer recognizes, hey, little thing called the Super Bowl's coming up.
We're lacking a few things here on this show.
Yeah. So So I don't know. I just thought that was very curious. It's funny. I looked at it at first like, okay. Oh, that, all right. Well, gosh, there's only one day in there where we don't know if he's going to be able to be on.
He's got his schedule all the way to August the 3rd. No,
it's got next year's preseason. Next year's preseason is already figured out.
The exhibition games.
Yeah. But February 12th, it's like, everybody. Oh, yeah, I gotta wait and let you know.
I am up in the air because here's the thing. I went to the person that schedules our travel and I said, hey, after the OKC game, are we staying in Oklahoma City or are we flying to Phoenix? She said, we're going to stay in Oklahoma City that night and then fly the next day. I don't know what time. So I'm being a good employee that I've always been.
Sure.
And I'm letting you know up front, and, you know, I may not be able to make that one. Uh-huh. Darn it. Now, I tell you what, though.
If it's a late flight from OKC to Phoenix.
Right. If the Chiefs win, I'm taking commercial. I'm making sure I come on our show, big fella. You know, if the Chiefs win, I ain't going to miss that show for the world.
Scrambling to get to the next Delta flight.
If the Chiefs win, he'll be so happy he can fly here himself. Just,
We'll use your old rewards points on that one.
Right. No doubt, man. Standby. I'll fly on standby. It don't matter. Shoot.
All right. I thought that was curious. That's all. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, really, thank you for letting me get a glimpse at your upcoming schedule there. That's going to be interesting. I'm going to go ahead and pencil you in for that day.
All right. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Pencil. I mean, I'll call in no matter what. I'm a good sport. You know, I'll call in. Well, no matter who wins, I'll be a part of that show. And if the Niners win, like I'm an unbiased journalist, I will say congratulations, guys. You know, I would give you your team's props. Uh-huh. Now, if they lose, you got to bow to the altar of Draper. Okay, like if you lose,
you've been wrong
about Drapes. Yeah. You were right, Drapes. He can't win the Super Bowl. You were right.
You've been wrong about them for so long. We keep giving you chances and chances. It's okay, Drapes.
I know.
All right. Okay. Well. We'll see.
I, you know what? I literally have been wrong every step of the way. Ever since that Eagles game,
I know
it's just been downhill for me. And I got one last chance.
All right, yeah. So we'll see how that goes. As far as last night, I want to get back to what you were just saying, Drapes, about Kings missed a lot of good shots. I got a theory here. Maybe shoot this out of the water if you must. But I really feel like they missed shots, but. They were open shots, but the offense wasn't producing good in-rhythm shots. And maybe it's just because they didn't go in. But you know how it is sometimes. I remember Chick Hearn used to do Laker games, and you could listen to him, and he would say, before the ball went in, he'd say, there's a jump shot, and it's good. And then you hear the crowd, and his partners would say, how did you know that? And he said, well, I know rhythm. And you know it. We've all seen it if you watch basketball. And some of those shots last night are just flat-out misses. But other ones, they were open shots. But the offense just seemed a little clunky, and it didn't seem like it was ever really in rhythm. That's the way it looked to me last night.
Yeah, to an extent. I thought especially in the second half, Miami went more zone in the second half, and we just did not have an answer. Like, Domantas Sabonis would get the ball at the foul line and just turn around and look and didn't have an idea of what to do with it. He was looking for whether should I pass, should I shoot. I think in that situation – there were times where he could have shot the foul line jumper at least 5 to 10 times, I thought. And he's just holding the ball and guys aren't moving. And, I mean, this Miami team is known for their zone. Like, they play a lot of zone. So I don't think the coaching staff or anybody was caught off guard. I just think, you know what, they played really well. Talking about Miami, the zone was really effective, and the Kings could never crack it. I will say there were a few corner threes that I felt like they had wide open and they just didn't make it. But, in that situation, Domantas Sabonis, as great as he is, he had 19 points last night. I felt and took 14 shots. I felt last night could have been a 22-24 shot game for him because that foul line jumper to me was there automatically. And so I thought, too many times he was looking to facilitate instead of calling his own number last night.
Mm-hmm. Another observation I had, maybe it's meaningless, and this is no way is a criticism of the coach. In no way am I suggesting that he should have been more animated, because I don't think that's the case. But from the start of the game, when the team is going over their, their final preparations, all the way through the game, right up to his post game, he just seemed kind of like he didn't have a lot of energy last. I was wondering if he's not feeling well or something. He was fine. Again, I'm not saying he needed to get angry, but is he okay? Because I've never seen Mike Brown so kind of low energy as he was last night.
No, I think he's fine. Okay. Saw him today, I think he's fine. Uh-huh. Even in his post-game press conference, I think he was a little down a little bit, yeah. But I think that's because of the loss. I don't think there's anything wrong or anything like that. I just think they got beat last night, mm-hmm. and one team was desperate, the other team wasn't. Like, Miami played like the desperate team, especially defensively, too. I thought they really turned it up defensively, like I said, in that second half, and it happens. I'm not going to overreact. Like I said, right. There's no fake outrage coming from me like some other people out there on social media. I'm going to tell it like I see it. And I just thought, the Kings missed a lot of shots, a lot of open looks. And Miami played arguably one of their best games of the season, especially shooting the ball, 50% from the field, 46% from three. They got to the line and made their free throws. We could talk about Kings free throws too if you want at some point. 12 of 18 last night, 67%. That's not going to get it done. But I thought the hungrier team won that. And what's interesting, and I was talking to somebody after the game, who's at all the games there in Miami, and they looked at me and said, as great as the Heat played, like, you guys were right there. You still had a chance. Mm-hmm. It should have been a 20 or 30 point game, but I'm encouraged. Obviously, we wasted a night. Keegan Murray went off for 33, and I'll talk about him coming up in just a little more. But De'Aaron Fox, 4 of 16 last night. That's a little concerning to me because he took 8 threes, 1 of 8. And I forget what the number is. The month of January, I saw it online. Somebody put it out. It might have been Chris Watkins or somebody. He's shooting 32% from three in the month of January, for the month of January. So that's a little concern to me as well.
Yeah, it seems to me when Fox and Malik, when both of them are struggling offensively, it's really difficult for this team to get enough offense going to really threaten people. We've got Drape's Takes when we come right back. It's the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Well, Kyle Draper, I know you said you will have no mock outrage to express today just because the Kings suffered a tough loss in Miami, but on the YouTube chat, the guy you call the instigator, Crown Royal, he's coming after the Kings. Remember the triple threat stance? Sabonis doesn't. Then Amadroc says the game felt cringy every time they shot a three-pointer. Mm-hmm. Amadroc, you know who's to blame for that. We know that's all the coaches plan to shoot 50. Whoa, somebody finally admits that aloud in here. So, it's typical day after Kings loss. Kings fans are a little frustrated.
Bunch of clowns, these jokers on the YouTube chat.
They're fans. YouTube that's chat being a fan.
It's like Reddit out there almost, man. You don't want to dive into the YouTube chat too much, man. But no, and this is what upsets me about this, They can be upset. They can say whatever. This team had just won 4 in a row. This team was just playing some good basketball. You go into a Miami game where the Heat have lost 7 in a row. First of all, you went into that game 5-30 all time in Miami. It, for some reason, gets you every single time. And I thought, the guys, outside of missing shots and maybe getting carved up on the other end, like, I thought Miami executed extremely well, but the game was still there for the taking for the Kings. I thought it mostly was the shots not falling, and they took 40 threes, 93 total shots. That's not a bad percentage, in terms of a balance. I mean, you want to take a little more twos, but it'd be different if they shot 50 threes and 35 twos or something like that. And so I thought for the most part, and I'm going to dive into the numbers here over our next 3.5 hours or so. I want to look at what they shot from wide open threes and near, mostly open threes. And I'll find those numbers here in a minute. But I thought for the most part, the Kings got some good looks. Should Domas at the free throw line maybe react it quicker, either shoot or get it out, whip the ball around. I thought it just got stagnant. Once it got to Domas in the middle, it was one pass and then a shot.
All right, here it is. Buckle up. Time for Drape's Takes with the Drive Guys.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
coming off a loss like this, 115-106, it's hard to be positive It's hard to be, you know, sunshine and rainbows. So I'm not going to be. I'm going to talk about some things that need to improve for the Sacramento Kings. And first of all, we need to get more from De'Aaron Fox. Only 13 points last night, 4 of 16 shooting. I know he's dealing with that shoulder issue. We see it, you know, even during games, him, you know, favoring it a little bit. But I think when you look at De'Aaron Fox, the three-point shot, as great as it has become for him, I would like to see him attack the basket a little more, get more downhill, get to the paint. That's what made him so deadly. Half his shots now are coming from three-point range. Last night, 8 shots from three-point range, 8 shots from two-point range. I think De'Aaron Fox, Whitey, needs to start getting back downhill. I don't mind the threes, but I want it a little more varied. What do you think?
Well, it sounds to me like you're saying you prefer a missed free throw to a missed three. I mean, at this point, what's the difference, the way he's shooting the ball?
Oh, come on. Why are you saying that about my guy? No, he got to make his free throws also.
I know.
But, you know, it's interesting. I'm looking at his splits here for the month of January. I said it earlier. He shot 32.6% from three in the month of January. Back in December, he shot 43.7%. And what's so interesting, he shot 119 threes in 13 games in December. He shot 95 threes in 15 games in January. So to me, that sounds like he's taking fewer threes in the month of January. I still would like it a little more, you know, balanced. Like, he needs to get into the paint a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also think the reason the numbers have come down is you could see it. There are games where he's looking for, it's like, I had it. It was there. And is it there? Nope, not there tonight either. So he's been searching for it a little bit for whatever reason.
Yeah, you're right about that. So that's one thing I would like to see from De'Aaron Fox. The second thing is, what's up with my guy Malik Monk? Mm-hmm. Like, we've talked all season long. You know, I went into this season saying Kevin Huerter is the litmus test for this Kings team. But really, I think it's Malik Monk. If we need to get Malik going once again. 6 points last night, 0 assists for Malik Monk in only 14 minutes. And so he's a vital part of this team. And I know some nights he doesn't have it, but 14 minutes just isn't enough to get into a rhythm last night, to really get it flowing. I need Malik at least 20 minutes, no matter what, night in and night out. And I need him to have an impact. I don't know what's been going on with him as of late. You know, his numbers are down, his impact is down, but Malik Monk has to be better for this team.
It looks like the fact that he's not shooting the ball well is starting to affect other aspects of his game. He's not making very good decisions with the ball. You know, last year he showed us that he was a much better point guard than a lot of us ever realized. And he has said, I could always do that. I just wasn't asked to. But the last couple of games, he's really struggled. Now, is that because he's not shooting the ball well? Was there something throwing his whole game off? I thought, I agree with you, that was really a factor last night, especially when the offense at times that got a little stagnant, they could have used somebody from a playmaker standpoint making smart plays, and he didn't have that last night.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, when you look at his numbers over the last 4 games, I just pulled them up. Malik Monk over the last 4 is averaging 5.5 points and 3.5 assists, and he's shooting 0.083 from three-point range.
Mm-hmm.
And he's turning the ball over, 3 turnovers a game. He has more turnovers over his last 4 games than field goals made.
Yeah.
That has to change. This guy is in the conversation for 6th man of the year. He's hit a little slump right now. They need him to be better out there.
Yeah, they do. And I'm confident that he'll be better. But until he is, I'm going to have to start calling him Malik Poole. Because that's what he's looking like.
Oh, why you are so negative today,
D. Well, sorry.
You're just taking shots at everybody.
No,
first it was De'Aaron Fox in the free throws. Now you're calling him Malik Poole. Come on.
He's not playing. Come as on. You said, it's hard to be what you say, sunshine and rainbow, so you're not going to be. Well, I'm not going to be either.
That's a shot at my guy. I take offense to that.
Okay.
Malik Poole.
He's not playing
Poole
well.
Poole never passed. After a point, never passed. He hasn't had an assist in his entire career. And yet, we come on, Whitey. But, and this is Drape's take, not mind you. This isn't Whitey's take. Now, if you want to be Freddie fan or Whitey's take, we can do that next segment. Let me go to my third and final Drape's take. Keegan Murray, man. Can we give him some flowers? That was a big-time bounce-back game. Remember, last game against Memphis, Keegan Murray only scored 5 points. Keegan Murray only played 24 minutes, but he didn't sulk. He didn't put his head down. I thought he was the bright spot, him and Domas last night, 33 points. You know, that was one of those games, as I look at, you know, the shot distribution, I would have liked him to get 22, 23 shots. Mm-hmm. There was a stretch there in the third or fourth quarter, I forget when it was, when he was flowing, and I wish they would have went to him a little more. I know it's an equal opportunity offense, but that could have been a night where Keegan at 33 could have went for 40 easily, and maybe down the stretch, we put the ball in his hands. We look for him to make plays when he's flowing like that.
You know what else I thought they could have used last night, Drapes, and clearly they didn't have the option. I tweeted this, and somebody thought I was criticizing the coach. I wasn't. Sasha wasn't available, but I would have loved to have seen what Sasha might have been able to do against that zone. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, Sasha, you know, some of those looks that the Kings got that they missed, Sasha, no doubt, would have made those. It's interesting with Sasha. I saw him warming up before the game, and I had a chance to talk to him about that ankle injury, and he's still having some pain in that ankle. And so he's being listed as questionable, but he's still having some pain. So I still think he's a few games away. They desperately miss his outside shooting, especially if Malik isn't connecting like, you know, we've seen him in the past. Kevin Huerter is still playing solid basketball. I'd like to see more from Trey Lyles, too, in these kind of situations, especially with Sasha being out. Like, we need more production. The fact that Miami's bench was able to outscore our bench in the way they did. Let me look at our bench. We had 18 bench points last night. Josh Richardson himself had 24. So Josh Richardson outplayed our entire bench. We need more from our bench, I think, going forward.
Yeah, in all fairness, and that's true, and it certainly was a factor. But the Kings bench, they're probably going to get outscored a lot, right, because the starters play so many minutes. Now, last night, it was more to it than that. But the Kings don't ask as much. They don't rely on their bench as much as some other teams. Fair to say?
Yeah, it's fair. But I would also say if Malik Monk's cooking, then Mike Brown, he's playing 30 minutes.
You're right.
You know, if
you're
Lyles has got it going, he's playing 25 minutes. And so I think what you're seeing from Mike Brown is he's riding who's ever hot in terms of minutes. Like, the game, Keegan had 5 points. He only played 24 minutes. Trey Lyles played 24 minutes. And so I think Mike Brown, from game to game, he gives guys a chance and sees how you're playing. And if you're hot, you're feeling good, you're going to get more minutes. If you're not, especially if you're a bench guy, you're not going to play as much.
I thought, to me, bottom line for Coach Brown, and I know you were in the post game because I heard you ask a question about the zone, and he said something along the lines of, we didn't get the 50-50 balls. We didn't have the deflections. I think, and I think you probably feel this way, a lot of Kings fans feel this way, that game was winnable, and they didn't win it. You know, so it's not like, what's wrong with this team? It's like, it felt like a little bit of an opportunity lost last night when they've been playing so well. That's better than wondering, they got to fix things. But still, it's just a little exasperating, right, when you feel like, oh, they had a chance to win that game last night.
Yeah, exactly. And that's that sense of urgency you want to have, no matter if you've won four games or lost four games in a row. Like, especially on the road when a team is down like Miami is, you're right there. You battled back, you know, made it a close game going into the half. And then third quarter, you lose that by two and then lose it, you know, only scored 22 points in the fourth quarter. And so you're right. It wasn't like Miami played, you know, championship level basketball like it was the Eastern Conference Finals. I thought a lot of what they were able to do, you sort of gave it to them. You didn't match their intensity. It's not like they had to go and play their best game of the year. They knocked down some shots and they got some good looks and they played harder than you. And you mentioned the 50-50 balls and the deflections. I think Mike Brown said in the post game, their goal obviously is 20 deflections per game. I think they were 15-3 when they have 20 or more deflections. They had 11 deflections in that first half, and I think he said, what, six or three, whatever it was, in the second half. Like, the second half, they just let go of the rope and let Miami have, you know, whatever they wanted out there. I'm looking at the second half box score right now, just pulled it up. It's interesting to see. The Heat shot 52%. We shot 40%. 30% from three. It's frustrating because what we're seeing, and this is sort of like goes back to earlier in the year, if our threes aren't falling, what's our backup plan, right? Whitey, we've talked about this. How else can we win the game? I thought yesterday we had a chance, and we just didn't take advantage of it.
Well, you want intensity. You want Frankie Cardicelli, our SackdownSports.com Kings insider. He joins us next with the latest on whether Kuzma's on the Kings' radar or not when the Drive Guys continue on Sackdown Sports. Drive Guys, Kyle Draper's still in when are you off to – are you in Indianapolis now? Kyle, where the heck are you exactly?
Indianapolis now. Yeah, we flew today. Yeah. 2.5-hour flight. The team, I believe, is practicing right now. They dropped me and Katie and G-Man off at the hotel. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the hotel room here in Indy right now.
Nice. Yeah. People
not
on
the ballroom, though.
Yeah, I know. I miss the ballroom. People on the chat, kind of in a mood today. From the end, Kuzma helps the Kings by not being on the team. So that may be true. I don't know what's going on trade-wise, but do we have our insider ready? It's time to catch up with our Sacktown Sports Kings insider, Frankie Cardicelli, with us. We'll get him just one second. Here we are. Yes. Hello, Frankie. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good, Frankie. Sorry about that. That's my fault here. Going to you a little bit early there. Frankie, as far as last night goes, what was the bigger issue for the Kings, the offense or the defense?
Yeah, you know, I think it was one of those games that I think you guys were talking about it a little earlier that I wouldn't really say it was a horrible game from the Kings. Just they had a lot of good looks, a lot of good open threes. And, first and fourth quarter, they really struggled from three. I think they went 3 of 11 in the first and 2 of 10 in the fourth. And, you know, the Kings are a team that they really do lean on the three ball a lot. They're among the league leaders in a lot of those categories. And, we've seen them do this before. We've seen them miss threes and miss open shots and lose these kind of games down the stretch. But, they really had a tough time with that zone late in the fourth and never really recovered. And obviously De'Aaron Fox had an off game. When he has those off games, you kind of look to Malik Monk, who kind of has a similar skill set to kind of be that bucket getter. And when they're both not on, it's hard for this team to win games. But not a game I'm necessarily alarmed by or anything like that. Just kind of one of those games that you wish you could have had, but on to the next.
Frankie, I've recited the numbers from Malik over the last four games, averaging 3 turnovers per game, 5 points per game. What do you think's going on with Malik? Just a little midseason slump? What's happening with him?
I mean, that's kind of how I'm seeing it. I mean, we've seen guys like this, guys go through things like this before. I mean, Kevin Herter's gone through it a couple times, and obviously these are different players. We're seeing De'Aaron Fox go through it right now, and obviously a lot of fans are asking on social media, is he hurt or are either of them hurt? I mean, to my knowledge, and Drapes, I'm not sure you're with the team, you're on the road. I'm not sure if you've heard anything either. I haven't heard anything that Fox is battling anything outside of bumps and bruises of the regular season. Mm-hmm. But these are just kind of the things that guys go through in every sport. You go through slumps. You can't be, great and efficient all the time. You have bad spells, and it's about how you come out of it and how long those spells last. And the Kings have a back-to-back this weekend. So obviously can't waste too much time trying to get things right. And I got to hope that one or both of those guys, Fox and Monk, can find it, because you're going to face an Indiana team who they have a game tonight and they play on the second night of a back-to-back tomorrow. We don't know if Tyrese Haliburton will be playing on the second night. They've been limiting him with that hamstring, right? But it's going to be a tough test. So you got to have these guys on their A game. And Fox and Monk, going through tough spells, it's going to happen over an 82-game season, but at the same time, it's very tough. Kind of like what we saw from the Kings when Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes were both struggling at the same time. When you have two guys out of a 7-8-man rotation, those 7-8 core guys struggling, it's hard. It's hard to win games, and the Kings really could have used one of those guys to have it last night, and maybe that would have determined the outcome of the game. Maybe it wouldn't have, but I think it's just one of those things that you go through over the course of a season.
Yeah, Frankie, Monk has been struggling so much. I've heard some people comparing him to Jordan Poole lately, which I think is a little extreme, but, people are throwing around out there. I want to ask you about Kyle Kuzma, because his name was popping up yesterday on all the, the websites, and it's basically just somebody who writes for the Wizards said Kuzma's been on the Kings' radar, and then, that gets aggregated. Next thing you got what looks like a million stories that the Kings are in on Kuzma when maybe they're not. Do you think he's on their radar at all? And if you were running the team, would Kyle Kuzma be on your radar?
Yeah, I mean, just over the past 2 years, really, going back to that summer where they had a deal basically done for him, we heard things that the Kings have definitely had a, they've been attracted to Kyle Kuzma for a while now. And I think that what makes this an appealing move is the fact that his contract, it's like a de-escalating contract. I think it ends at $19 million. I think he's around 24 right now. The Kings obviously have the salary to make that work, whether it be Harrison Barnes, Kevin Huerter, or combining other contracts like Chris Duarte. They can make the money work for sure. It just is a matter of fit, and I think that if you were to bring in Kyle Kuzma, I think he'd be a decent fit. It's just my question is, what do you do at the two-guard spot if Kevin Huerter is the move, which I know that in David Aldridge's piece, I believe Kevin Huerter was the main return for Washington. I mean, I was kind of going over that with a couple other of the guys, like, you know, Brendan, Chris, and Allen, and we were kind of trying to go over it, and a thought that popped into my head, and this is not sourced or anything like that, it's just a thought that popped in my head. We know how the Kings have modeled themselves kind of after the Warriors over the years, and we've seen Keegan Murray, who has defended positions 1 through 4 very well, more targeting the 1s and 2s this year. It wouldn't surprise me if the Kings made a move like that, and they decided to slide Keegan over to the 2, which I think Mike Brown has said before, too. I believe he said it at the beginning of the season that he thinks Keegan Murray is capable of playing 2, and he's 6'8". Obviously, that's not his natural position, but when you look at that Warriors model, which the Kings have tried to take a page out of every now and then, Klay Thompson is around 6'6", 6'7", and he's a guy that was known early in his career as a defender, and maybe that's the route the Kings go. If they want to go with the Fox, Murray, Barnes, Kuzma, Sabonis lineup, that could be something that is intriguing in my opinion, but I think they have the money to get it done. They have the assets to get it done. I think 2 firsts would be a little steep, but if it's first in contracts, I see no reason why they shouldn't. I think he'd be a good fit.
Okay, crazy. Frankie, you're in on the Kuzma train as long as the assets match up. What do you think? Do you think anything actually gets done over the next week? Do you feel like the Kings feel like they need to do something right now?
I don't necessarily think they need to. I think that over the long run, to maximize the potential of this group, they're going to have to. So I think long-term, yes. I think for this year, no, not a need. But I think that as far as bringing in other players, I mean, you see the guys that are out there, it's kind of the same names for everybody. And the aggregated content that you're talking about, Whitey, it's everybody. I mean, Alex Caruso, teams are knocking on the Chicago's door about Alex Caruso. Dorian Finney-Smith and Royce O'Neal. I mean, now apparently Royce O'Neal is available for 2 second-round picks. Like, I would imagine there's going to be a bunch of teams that are going to be knocking on Brooklyn's door for that. So I think if they're going to win one of those sweepstakes and bring in a player like that, I think that would definitely help them in the short term. Their defense has been better, especially during that recent 4-game winning streak. And even last night, you know, it wasn't horrible. Miami's had one of their best nights from 3 of the season. I know that's a trend against the Kings. A lot of opponents have their best nights from 3 against the Kings. But if they were going to make a deal like that, I think that would definitely help them in the short term. But I do think the Kings have one of those big swing for the fence, Sabonis, Halliburton type deals up their sleeve. I'm not sure if it's going to happen in the next week, but for sure, probably in the next year, they're going to have to bring in another guy to kind of push this thing forward, because the Kings feel good about Keegan Murray and his development. But I think adding one more piece will make them just that more, you know, dangerous of a team.
We're just moments away from Frankie gets carded. We'll see how that goes this week. But before we get there, Frankie, what do you expect today's All-Star news to be for Kings fans?
Oh, man, I've been going over it. I tried writing my own out. I was reading other people's picks. Yesterday we talked about it with Alan and Chris. I'm in the camp that I think that one will make it. I think that on paper, I think Domantas Sabonis, just I think that when you look at the guards in the West and how competitive that's going to be with Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Stephen Curry, I think that Fox might have a tougher time like last year, kind of the same thing as last year. I mean, right? I mean, Fox was kind of squeezed out last year and made it as an injury replacement. Deserving. De'Aaron Fox is deserving to be an All-Star. I think that in my book, De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis are both All-Stars. But I think what Sabonis is doing right now, it's historic. We're seeing, like, the run that he's on right now, going for 30 straight double-doubles tomorrow, we're going to look back at this run and these box scores and just laugh. Like, it's ridiculous what he's doing every night and how easy he makes it look, and how you look up midway through the first quarter or beginning of the second, and he's already almost at the double-double mark. He deserves to be there more than anybody, I believe, as far as the front court goes. And maybe they both get in. I would be surprised they both got in, but you know, injuries happen, things happen that they both could get in. But I right now think that Sabonis will be in and Fox on the outside looking in, which looks like it wouldn't be the worst thing for Fox, who was telling our buddy Chris Peterman that he you know, some time off might do him some good over the course of the season.
Right.
Yeah, Frankie Cardicelli joining us. We'll find out All-Stars here coming up in about 90 minutes or less. Frankie, my last question. As you look at, you know, where the Kings are this season, where they're going right now, this road trip that they have coming up. How would you assess where they are right now? And, you know, can they be a top four team? Can they catch the Clippers, or are they really battling for this 5-6 spot, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely capable of making that run for a top four. I see them more in that 5-6 range personally, but I do think that they have the internal. Like, I think that's one thing that Monty McNair and Mike Brown talked about at the beginning of the year, too, as far as when the struggles were happening early on, that the internal improvements were going to be necessary for them to kind of make that next move. And if they do decide to stand mostly pat at the deadline, those internal improvements. Now, again, Harrison Barnes struggled last night. That he missed a lot of open threes. That was, in my opinion, out of his character. I mean, especially from what we've seen in recent memory from Harrison Barnes. And on the year as a whole, he's been a good three-point shooter. He's been taking those strides forward. Kevin Huerter's been playing very well over the past, you know, 7-8 games. If those are the internal improvements that are going to stick and they're kind of going back to last year's formula, I have no doubt they can be in that top four mix. But when you look at what those guys in the top four are doing, you know, the Minnesotas, Denver's, Clippers, it's going to be kind of hard to catch those guys unless something, you know, drastic happens. And the Kings' strength of schedule, I think they still have one of the hardest remaining strength of schedules in the NBA. And yeah. I think Phoenix is second, which is good for the Kings as far as holding down a 5-6 spot. But internal improvement is definitely going to be important. And it's a really good sign that Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes, if they're going to be here past the deadline, they're showing signs of life, because the Kings really need that from those two.
As you know, every week we grade Frankie's performance. We give him a basketball card, and the quality of the card is a reflection of what kind of job he's done for us. It's time for Frankie Gets Carded. When's the last time you got carded, by the way? Was it like last night or something? You must get carded
every
a lot.
Time.
You probably do.
A lot.
Yeah.
I think they have to. I'll be 30 this summer. They have to do it, though. I think they check my mom's ID, and she's 58. So they'll check your guys' ID, too. They just have to do it, I think.
All right. Yeah, sure. That's it. A couple weeks ago, we debuted the feature, and this was kind of a cumulative grade for all you'd done before. You got the Domas card, which is I still have for you. You remember that?
Yeah, I want that one.
You didn't get a grade last week, and you know that's really complicated. We have your grade for last week because you were like on the show a day late. You weren't in studio, which you're not today. We took into account.
Hold on, I was going to go on StreamYard, but there's too many StreamYards going
Frank,
on.
I don't see Frank. You're not here. So your grade today, this is a 1995 George Murison card. Yeah, but he's got, I mean, Alonzo Mourning is in it, but it's the guy from, what is that? My Giant. Was that the movie? George yeah. Murison. And then for today's grade, and hopefully this is some good luck for all of us, Frankie, we have a blue, I know you can't see it that well, but this is a blue Prism De'Aaron Fox card. So this is a
wow.
Yeah, because you brought it today, and we appreciate that, bouncing back from last week. So there you go, Frankie. And as I said, hopefully good luck for the Kings and for De'Aaron Fox today with the All-Star announcements coming.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you. That definitely could be a good omen for De'Aaron this afternoon. And road trip's almost over. So when the road trip's over and you guys are both in the studio, I'd be happy to come and sit with you guys.
Right,
so
sure.
Trust me. I will be there next week. I will be there next week.
Okay.
Next week. All right. Yeah,
all right, Frankie. Thank you. We appreciate it. Good job.
Right, thank you, guys. Travel safe, Drake.
All right, Frank.
When we come back, Kyle, I'll tell you why I'm hoping Domas and Fox are not named All-Stars tonight when the Drive Guys roll on next year on Sacktown Sports. Yeah, today's the day. We'll find out who the All-Star reserves are. Could be a King or two. I don't know how Kyle feels, but in a moment, I'll share why I'd be okay if neither of the Kings is named to the reserves. But before we get to that, Kyle Draper in Indianapolis today, getting ready for the Kings and the Pacers tomorrow. I have some interesting comments here, Kyle. First of all, on the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, Chris the Mom says, "What do you mean you don't know if Kyle will make it to work the day after? He's going to be sick after the Super Bowl. Find a replacement." That's from Chris the Mom. So, the first comment.
Screw there. Chris the Mom. Don't worry about it. If I'm sick, I might be like LeBron and AD tonight. I'm injured. I'm hurt.
Yeah,
I'm allowed
that?
A day off.
Yeah.
I bargained that.
And then there's a lot of back and forth here on the YouTube chat about what Frankie was just talking about. It's an interesting idea. Maybe the Kings channel their inner warrior. They play, or I should say they emphasize more the positionless basketball. Go get Kuzma and put Keegan at the two. What do you think of that bold concept?
I don't like it. I just don't like it. I don't know. I don't know why I don't like it. I don't know. And I know Keegan has guarded some of the best players. I just don't like it. For some reason, I like Kevin Huerter and what he does. I think Kevin Huerter moves better without the ball than Keegan does, if that makes sense. I don't know. That would be an interesting – Keegan has 6'8 at the two. Kuzma 6'8. Barnes 6'8. 3 6'8 guys. I mean –
I'm with you.
I guess it's okay. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right to me.
I understand the concept and understand the upside, but to me it's like doesn't quite work. It's asking an awful lot of Keegan. Now, if you had Kuzma and instead of Barnes, that obviously on the surface seems like a better fit. But here we have on the chat, the end says, it's a good call if you're a Wizards fan. Thanks, Frankie. So people are a little salty after a Kings loss last night. That's all.
Yeah, people a little edgy. You know, you got what's her name? Chris the Mom. You know, killing me a little bit.
Man, raise up off Chris the Mom. That's a family friend, man.
Ooh.
Really?
I might have to come at you. That's a Niner, too.
Oh, come on. And Chris the Mom is a loyal listener, too.
Yeah.
Chris the Mom always chiming in on the text line, and I appreciate that. But when you come at Drapes, I got to come back at you. That's how it is.
Is Chris the Mom coming at you, or is Chris the Mom spitting truth right there with that?
Kyle will make it to work the day after. He's going to be sick after Super Bowl. You can't replace Drapes. Come on, Chris the Mom. I think she's coming at – he or she is coming at me right there. You know, it's – yeah. Trust me, I'll be a part of the show somehow.
All right.
I'm just saying work duties might prevent me from making it. That's all. If I'm in the air to Phoenix, I might not make it.
We have ways we can check on that, by the way. Not that we would, but we can. Yeah. Compio says, no Kuzma. The first time you see Kuzma play defense would be the first time he played defense. Woo!
Mm.
Salty.
Right. It's you know, Kyle Kuzma is a great player. Like, I like Kyle Kuzma. Won a championship with the Lakers, the bubble championship and everything, but I just don't you know, it just doesn't fit in with me because he needs his shots. I think he's taking like 19 shots a game right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the development of Keegan. We're talking about all these moves, all these big moves. Really what we need is Keegan just to be that dude. The guy's the number 4 overall pick, and you're trying to bring in a guy that basically would take more shots to him because, trust me, Kuzma ain't coming in here to just be a glorified role player. That's not happening. And so I think we need to add around the margins with this team and not necessarily swing for the fences.
Yeah, we may have a guy when we talk about today on Trade Talk coming up here. But, you know, the other thing you're trying to do if you go out and get Kuzma is you're just trying to raise the talent level overall. Right. So, I mean, that's part of it, too, is looking at this roster. We love this guy. We love this guy. We love what the team did last year. But is there enough talent there? Do we have to bring in somebody with some significant talent in order to raise the level up to where we could seriously think about competing for, you know, close to a title?
That's a great question. But, you know, I maintain what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got Fox. He's an all-NBA player. Domas, all-NBA. What if Keegan could become an all-NBA, all-star level player? Do we need another guy?
Why
you know
not?
What I mean,
why not?
It's not 2K, Whitey. It's not video games or your fantasy basketball league you playing with
your
buddies
Celtics.
Down the street.
Look at your Boston Celtics.
How long it took the Celtics. They got lucky. The Celtics got lucky with Drew Holiday being available. They got lucky on that one. Like, those, look at most teams. Most teams don't have 4 guys. Even Phoenix is struggling now, and they got 3 guys. Like, most teams, the Celtics got lucky. They bought low on Porzingis because Porzingis was flaming out there in Dallas. They Drew Holiday, the Blazers didn't want him. And so they were, you know, Drew Holiday wanted to go to Boston because they were a contending team. And so I just think when you look at it, you know, that is a lightning in a bottle that they caught. I don't think that's realistic, you know, in the whole scheme of things. And you got to also look, you're talking about Kuzma. We're talking about Kuzma, a guy in his prime, a guy who is known to like to get the ball up, chuck some shots up. You know, Porzingis, meanwhile, at this stage of his career, there's a clear pecking order. Tatum, Brown, then Porzingis. What's the clear pecking order in Sacramento? And would Kyle Kuzma come in and say, you know what, I'm deferring to Keegan Murray? I don't know if he would. And I don't want those problems here in Sacramento.
Yeah, I'm not against adding more talent, but I think what you just said would be what would make it tricky. And again, we have no idea if they're pursuing Kuzma. But we talked to your friends from Boston when they were here. You know, we talked to Cedric and we talked to Scal.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, look, those two guys, Porzingis and Drew Holiday, you could probably fit them into any team right now with the way they play and their skill sets. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to fit in anywhere. You put Kyle Kuzma on a team where he's not going to get as many shots. Could he fit in? Maybe, but you can't assume that. It's an open question. So that's a great point.
Yeah, and that's what I think. You know, as much as, like I said, I like Kuzma, would it upset what we already have going on? And is he the player to take the chance on, the risk on? You know, is there another veteran player who's out there that, you know, didn't work out for whatever reason in one situation and can now come here to Sacramento and be a part of it? It sort of reminds me of Kevin Garnett when the Celtics mm-hmm. traded for him. Mm-hmm. Kevin Garnett was still an all-star level player. He was still but he came in knowing he was coming in to sacrifice. He was mature, you know, at that point. I think Kyle Kuzma is still trying to establish himself as an all-star level player, as a 25 point per game scorer. And so I just don't know if he's the right guy to bring in that mix.
Speaking of all-stars, will Domas be an all-star today? Will De'Aaron Fox be named an all-star today? I'll tell you why. I'd be fine if they're not when we come right back here. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.